Yeah, amen. Thank you. Jeremiah 35, beginning of verse 1. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go unto the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Masani, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and said to them, Drink ye wine. But they said, We will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye, nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed, and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. The house of the Rechabites. The Lord used this house as a sign. And the Lord would use this house as a sign, an ensign, paradigm. Go unto the house of the Rechabites and speak to them and bring them to the house of the Lord. And this day, the house of the Rechabites shall be brought to the house of the Lord. What was it about this house, about this household? The house of the Rechabites arrives at the house of the Lord, and here they are brought into the house of the Lord. Bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers. Bring them into the house of the Lord, into one chamber of the treasuries. A nomadic clan known as the Rechabites. There was something about this clan. To give context, these words, Babylon, along with Aram, is raiding Judean villages. These raids caused many to seek refuge in Jerusalem, which is not yet under attack. Among those who run to the capital city is a nomadic clan known as the Rechabites. Their customs are simple and austere. Their lifestyles are not suited to city living. However, they now find themselves in Jerusalem, forced to take refuge in the city, though still lodging in tents. The word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah. Go to them. Go and bring them. Speak to them and bring them into the house of the Lord. So he brought them in, into the house of the Lord and into one of the chambers. And the Spirit of the Lord would have us look into the chamber today. Listen in to the chamber today. What might we see? What might we hear? That there be a gleaning, a rising, You know, the Lord didn't have the house of the Rechabites brought into his house and into this chamber for no reason, no purpose. The KJV, go into the house of the Rechabites and speak to them. And bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. And so we look there in the chamber, there in the room, set before these Rechabite men are pitchers full of wine with some cups. Set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites, pots full of wine and cups. Jeremiah 35, 1 and 2, the word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, go unto the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Verses 4 to 5, and I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye wine. Reach out. Take hold of a chalice. Start passing the pitchers around. Fill up. Fill up to the brim. Set the chalice to thy lips and drink. Drink ye wine. Verses 5 to 11, then I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites bowls full of wine and cups. And I said to them, drink wine. They said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, you nor your sons, forever. You shall not build a house, sow seed, plant a vineyard, nor have any of these. But all your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners. Thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he has charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, or our daughters, nor to build ourselves houses to dwell in, nor do we have vineyard, field, or seed. But we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. But it came to pass when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land that we said, come, let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwell at Jerusalem. Lord, what's the lesson? What are you showing us? What are you teaching us? Why this household brought into the house of the Lord and into this chamber? We're looking, Lord. We've looked in on the scene. We're listening, Lord. We've listened in on the scene. This has nothing to do with the drinking of wine today, unless it does have to. But it does have everything to do with conviction and obedience, faithfulness to customs, and here the manner of this household is held up. Held up as an example. There they are in the house of the Lord, in one of the chambers, chalices and pitchers of wine set before them. A voice is heard. Have some wine. Drink some wine. This is the voice of Jeremiah. Obey the prophet? Is this a pardon? Is this a sanction? Is this permission? An exception? Is this temptation? Is this a test? Is this approving? What if we were offered something in a house of the Lord that our fathers commanded us that we should not receive, take up, drink in, partake of? The Wycliffe Bible reads, "And I set it before the sons of the house of the Rechabites, pecks and great cups full of wine. And I said to them, drink ye some wine. And they answered, we shall not drink wine. For why? Jonadab, our father, the son of Rechab, commanded to us and said, ye shall not drink wine, ye and your sons, till into without end." What's the big deal? Is it a big deal? I mean, it's not like they're in some rogue, unholy environment. They're here in a chamber in the house of the Lord, and I mean, they're guests. And this has been set before them. Learn a lesson from the Rechabites. All, and we could all learn a lesson from the Rechabites. Here are chalices and pitchers of wine. Drink ye wine. We will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. He commanded us not to build houses, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyards, nor have any, but all our days we shall dwell in tents, that we may live many days in the land where we be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. The Lord had the house of the Rechabites brought into his house and into that chamber to teach an important lesson to his people. Our father commanded us, saying, our father commanded us not to. We have obeyed and done according to all that our father commanded us. The example, this example, the house of the Rechabites. Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us. One generation to the next, running in like manner, living in like manner, holy purpose, holy constraint, this vow, these vows, such conviction, such commitment, this faithfulness. The message reads, our ancestor Jonadab, son of Rechab, commanded us. The NIRV, Jonadab gave us a command. He was the son of Rechab. He was also one of our own people from long ago. The Voice Bible, Jonadab, son of Rechab, gave us very clear commands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing the house of the Rechabites into your house today. Rechab, Jonadab, and here, this present generation, the on earth now Rechabites, the living, breathing house of the Rechabites. Rechab, writer, father of Jehonadab in the time of King Jehu, of the northern kingdom of Israel. Jehonadab or Jehonadab, Jehovah is willing, a son of Rechab, chief of the Rechabites, whom Jehovah impels, who bound his posterity by a vow. Oh, for a binding, for descendants, and all future generations, generation to generation to generation to generation to generation. Jehonadab. And is this not the one who stretched out his hand and was taken up into the chariot of Jehu? Look back in time. Wicked King Ahab and the heading, the rest of Ahab's family killed, 2 Kings 10, 15 to 17. Now when he departed from there, he found Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he greeted him and said to him, "Is your heart right, as my heart is toward your heart?" And Jehonadab answered, "It is." Jehu said, "If it is, give me your hand." So he gave him his hand and he took him up into the chariot. Then he said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." So they had him ride in his chariot. And when he came to Samaria, he killed all who remained to Ahab in Samaria till he had destroyed them according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to Elijah. Zeal for the Lord. And this man, Jehonadab, son of Rider, had zeal for the Lord. Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, our father commanded us, saying, the ATS Bible Dictionary scripture acquaints us, Jeremiah 35, 2 to 11, that Jehonadab, son of Rechab, in the time of Jehu, king of Israel, laid an injunction upon his posterity not to drink wine, not to build houses, not to plant vineyards, to have no lands, and to dwell in tents all their lives. This they continued to observe for above 300 years. But in the last year of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar coming to besiege Jerusalem, the Rechabites were forced to take refuge in the city, though still lodging in tents. During this siege, Jeremiah received orders from the Lord to invite them into the temple and to offer them wine to drink. They refused to partake of it, and their fidelity to their father's injunction was a severe reproof to the Jews. Go into the house of the Rechabites and speak to them and bring them to the house of the Lord. Go into the house of the Rechabites and speak to them and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Did God know that he could bank on the house of the Rechabites? Rechab, yes. And Jehonadab. But what of this new generation? Brought into the house of the Lord, and they're in the chamber, and this setting before them of that which they were not to drink. They had free will, but it was crucified. They could have reached out and taken hold of the chalices, but their hands were sanctified. They could have taken hold of the pitchers and poured the wine, but their chalices had never held wine. They could have lifted the chalices and put them to their lips for just a taste, just a drop. But their lips were set apart. Could have, should have, would have, couldn't, shouldn't, wouldn't. You know, a charge, a command, is one thing. It's another for the recipient to take on the vow. Rechab. Oh, that was for the old man. Archaic. Jonadab. Ah, that was fine for his generation. That generation. And here, this present generation. This present generation didn't crack. They didn't give in. They didn't fail. They didn't despise the commands. They held to the family vow, for the vow and vows they had taken as their own. They held the line. They didn't disappoint. And they didn't disappoint God, this house of the Rechabites. Jeremiah 35, pick it up, verse 12. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearken not unto me. I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, Return. Return ye now, every man, from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. But ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandments of their father, which he commanded them. But this people hath not hearkened unto me. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard. And I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he hath commanded you. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me. Worth reading in the message. Why won't you learn your lesson and do what I tell you? God's decree. The commands of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, to his sons have been carried out to the letter. He told them not to drink wine, and they haven't touched a drop to this very day. They honored and obeyed their ancestors' command. But look at you. I have gone to a lot of trouble to get your attention, and you've ignored me. I sent prophet after prophet to you, all of them my servants, to tell you from early morning to late at night to change your life, make a clean break with your evil past, and do what is right, to not take up with every Tom, Dick, and Harry of a God that comes down the pike, but settle down and be faithful. In this country I gave your ancestors. Be faithful. And what do I get from you? Deaf ears. The descendants of Jonadab, son of Rechab, carried out to the letter what their ancestors commanded them, but this people ignores me. So here's what is going to happen. God of the angel armies, the God of Israel, says, I will bring calamity down on the heads of the people of Judah and Jerusalem. The very calamity I warned you was coming, because you turned a deaf ear when I spoke, turned your backs when I called. Then turning to the Rechabite community, Jeremiah said, and this is what God of the angel armies, the God of Israel, says to you, because you have done what Jonadab, your ancestor, told you, obeyed his commands and followed through on his instructions, receive the message from God of the angel armies, the God of Israel. There will always be a descendant of Jonadab, son of Rechab, at my service. Always. Generation, 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 bound posterity. It's what we need in this hour. Rechab, I mean, the old man had standards, you know. He had faith. He had a manner. He knew what his family needed. He was wise. Jonadab, he had a God brain, God heart. He knew what his family needed. He commanded them. He said, this command I give to you. And now this present generation, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father and kept all his precepts and done according to all that he commanded you, therefore thus is the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not lack a man to stand before me forever. Did old man Rechab command his son Jonadab, saying? Well, he must have. Perhaps he had, or why call them Rechabites? I mean, go with the generation that this obedience, commitment, consecration, vow began with. Old man Rechab must have been a Rechabite. Or why not call them Jonadabites? I quote, there is much to learn from this family. The Rechabites stood firm against assimilating into the culture of the time. They were commended by God for their faithfulness and obedience to their father. The Rechabites are an example of steadfastness. God desires his people to live in obedience and steadfastness to him. You know, church, regardless who this all started with, the house of the Rechabites serves as an example of lifestyle and obedience, highlighted as exemplary, so much so that God had them brought into his house to use as an example of the exemplary. This household, this lineage had power because of consecration, devotion, obedience, honor, because they had pressed on and continued in this model fashion. And God said, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Because a generation brought into the house of the Lord, brought into a house of the Lord, held the line when they were offered that which they were commanded not to partake of. Because a generation had fresh hearing for the voice of their fathers. Because a generation knew that God is pleased with obedience, not concession and sacrifice. Because a generation felt the holy weight of not being the generation that broke the vow. 1 Samuel 15:22, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Imagine if they would have drunk that wine. No, they hadn't built houses to dwell in, nor did they have vineyards, fields, or seed. A house houses would have been such a noticeable violation, standing for all to see. Look! See the houses? See the house? The Rechabites cracked. They sold. A vineyard. Vineyards would have been such a visible violation. And what of fields and seeded fields? And what might the wine represent today? This day. It's just one time. Just a few pitchers, just some chalices, just one glass, just one sip. I mean, look upon the wine. It's red, the color it giveth in the cup, how it moveth itself. At least put it to your lips. Smell the bouquet. Hey, we're in this chamber. We're not even in the wide open main part of the house of the Lord. We're down in this chamber. No one can see us. No one will know. Nobody will ever know. And this is Jeremiah. God sees. And that's more weight and weighty than the great quantity of every set of mortal eyes ever created. The eyes of the Lord upon them. The eyes of the Lord upon us. The eyes of the Lord on a generation and on each successive generation. And look what this generation secured. What a promise. God commends the Rechabites for their steadfastness and promises them a perpetual legacy. He says it carried on. A missionary in the East thus writes, "On my arrival in Mesopotamia, some Jews that I saw there pointed me to one of the ancient Rechabites. He stood before me, wild like an Arab, holding the bridle of his horse in his hand. I showed him the Bible in Hebrew and Arabic, which he was much rejoiced to see, as he could read both languages. After having proclaimed to him the tidings of salvation, and made him a present of the Hebrew and the Arabic Bibles and Testaments, I asked him, 'Whose descendant are you?' 'Musa,' he said boisterously, 'is my name, and I will show you who were my ancestors.' On which he immediately began to read from the 5th to 11th verse of Jeremiah 35. 'Where do you reside?' said I. 'At Mesha, now called Mecca, in the deserts around those places. We drink no wine and plant no vineyards and sow no seed and live in tents as Jonadab our father commanded us. Come to us and you will find us 60,000 in number. And you see thus the prophecy has been fulfilled. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever.' And saying this, the Rechabite mounted his horse and fled away and left behind a host of evidence in favor of sacred writ." Pots full of wine and cups, pitchers full of wine and chalices, whatever these might represent this day, drink. No. The vow, the command. God's counting on us. So is Jeremiah. Even though he set wine before us, they're counting on us to be a sign, an ensign, a paradigm of faithfulness and obedience. And you know, it's just who we are. We are Rechabites. A nomadic clan, known for their strict adherence to the commands of their ancestor. Lifestyle and obedience highlighted as exemplary. Their obedience is contrasted with the disobedience of the people of Judah to the commands of God. The Rechabites' faithfulness serves as a rebuke to Judah, highlighting the importance of obedience to divine commandments. God commends the Rechabites. Therefore, this is what the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says, Jonadab, son of Rechab, will never fail to have a man to stand before me. Yes, this promise underscores the value of faithfulness and obedience, as the Rechabites' commitment to their ancestral commands is rewarded with divine favor. The Rechabites are often cited as an example of faithfulness and integrity. Their commitment to their ancestral traditions and their willingness to stand apart from the prevailing culture of their time serve as a model for living a life dedicated to principles and obedience to God. Their account is a powerful reminder of the blessings that come from steadfast adherence to God's commands and the enduring legacy of faithfulness. Each generation must decide what to do with the vow. Call it Christianity, faith. You know, Grandpa, he used to go to church every Sunday. Grandpa used to go to the prayer meeting. Grandpa, he actually used to go Sunday morning and Sunday night. He thought it was important. He bound his posterity with a vow. It's just one example. He said it's important. This has got to carry on generation. Do you know there was a time church after church after church in this city had Sunday morning and Sunday night services? Do you know they, almost all of them used to have pre-service prayer, corporate prayer? I mean, they thought it was important, but that's archaic. But they bound the posterity, the next generation. We're talking about dad now. Old grandpa said to dad, it's important. This is what we do. We're Christians. And so dad, Sunday morning, Sunday night, pre-service prayer on time, because punctuality is the prince of politeness. And I mean, we're going to God's house. Dad used to go to the midweek prayer service because it was important. He knew his family needed it. His family didn't need more board game time or tech time or family time. They needed family of God time. They needed God time. They needed to be in church. He knew it was important. But here's the new generation. Man, we're smart. We got it all figured out. Grandpa, archaic. Father, eh. Too steadfast, too committed. Let's just do whatever we want. I mean, it's not going to matter, is it? I'm going to tell you something. I've been around a little while, and I have watched one generation hold the line, believe it or not. Next generation, it's weak. Or perhaps they've held the line. Next generation, it's playing loose with something even like church attendance. And pretty soon, fourth generation, don't even go to church. I have family members just like it. Sons and daughters that don't even serve God. That got hooked up and yoked up with unbelievers. And what started with grandpa or great-grandpa is gone. And now, guess what? You're praying for their salvation. It didn't need to be like this. It didn't have to happen. But you got to listen. Your father is not a fool. Your grandfather is not archaic. A fool looks at his own ways and says everything's just fine. Grandpa goes to their grandkid and said, "You haven't been coming to church. Grandpa, we don't need to go to church." And so he, you know, quotes the scripture, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some." Grandson, granddaughter, the big day's approaching. God's coming back. God's coming back. God's coming back. You guys, honestly, I got to hold the line too. And I got to bind my posterity. And I have to live it out that the next generation actually serves God. I grew up in a Christian home, a PK, pastor's kid. I've known other pastor's kids that grew up the same way I did, same manner, same time, same generation, same pressures, all that. Guess what? They're not serving God. They're not. That family line, so hot and so holy, and it's over. Like that. By God's grace, they'll come back home. By God's grace, perhaps, you know, a few generations from now, some descendant will hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Come back. But see, each present generation has to decide. They have to choose for themselves. That's just the way it works. Let's have the worship team return. Might there be a grandfather or a father in the house, a grandmother or a mother in the house that would command and charge in right and holy manner themselves of the Rechabite flow? Is there a son or a daughter in the house, a generation in the house of faithfulness and obedience as the Jeremiah 35 Rechabites committed to their ancestral commands, commitment, which is rewarded with divine favor? A generation willing to stand apart from the prevailing culture of their time. We're even talking about the prevailing church culture. A generation to serve as a model for living a life dedicated to the principles and obedience to God, that this generation's account might serve as a powerful reminder of the blessings that come from steadfast adherence to God's commands and the enduring legacy of faithfulness. Some may renounce the Rechabite vow. Some may break the Rechabite vow. Some may seek to adjust and modernize it, but you can't. Because if it's changed or altered in any way, it's not the Rechabite vow. Some will renounce and regret. Some will renounce and not regret. Let us forever be proud to be a type of Rechab. Let us forever say, "We do not, because our forefather gave us this command." And if no Rechab-like forefather, guess what? It can begin with you. Somebody in the house, first generation Christian, you've taken the vow. I mean, you're ready. Thank God you're saved. Greatest miracle. Thank God. Thank God. It can start with you. Generations down the line, who did it start with? Let me tell you about your great-grandpa. At the end of days, our days, may we still be able to say we have lived and have fully obeyed everything our forefather commanded us. Then turning to the Rechabite community, Jeremiah said, "And this is what God of the angel armies, the God of Israel, says to you. Because you have done what Jonadab, your ancestor, told you, obeyed his commands and followed through on his instructions, receive this message. God of the angel armies, the God of Israel, receive it today, church. There will always be a descendant at my service." Always. Always. Come join the house of the Rechabites. If you'd like. If you'd like. You know, I often wonder what the church is doing. We're just trying to make it easier and easier to serve Jesus. Less taxing. Less time. Lord, help us. You know, we got Remembrance Day coming up. Just thinking of it now. You know what we're likened to an army? The army of the Lord. The army of God. Good soldiers. Man, it's what we need. Hardened soldiers. You know, I'm thankful for every soldier that serves this nation with head and heart, spirit, soul, body. They're just right in it for the right reason, for the right purpose. Can you imagine if they just... fell to a weaker manner? What would the army look like? God, save us now. God, help us now. And He will. And He is. You know, He's got thousands of knees that have not bowed. Thousands of lips that have not kissed some image. You're going to have to make a choice. Father, mother, and it might be a choice that you make on your own, because sometimes that's how it works. We're going to serve God the way God wants. We're going to serve Him. I'm binding my posterity. You know what I have said. You know what manner of life I'm living and we're going to live. And then you have to release them into the hands of God and just trust that they're as convicted as you are. Let's stand in the house.